Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
Is Street View.
Father God in heaven, thank you for life. Thank you for the journey. Thank you for the ups and the downs, God. I imagine that a plant has some really hard days. Thank you for surrounding me, God. Plant me in good fertile soil. Right now, God, I ask in Jesus Christ's name that you will use me for your glory, that your will be done. I pray this prayer with sincerity and truth in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. What's happening, y'all? How y'all doing? This is the podcast host, Rashad Anthony Dickerson, in the building on the ones and twos. We got Mr. Ryan, the captain. Couldn't do it without him. We also have my co-host, Ms. Jasmine Africa Walla, as well as some very special individuals here today. We cannot, will not, and shall not forget about Antoinette, Miss Carrie Spriggs. We also have the one and only Mr. Bill Smith, who has been with the library for how long now?
A little over a year.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you guys
for coming on the show. Also, today in the studio, we have Mr. Wayne. Wayne, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Well, there ain't a whole lot to tell. I like playing guitars and music, and they offered... Bill, on the fourth floor of the library here, started offering music classes, learning music and all. And so I was kind of curious to see what all they had and come down, went in, and was really amazed. There's several things I already knew from, you know, past experiences or whatever. I took saxophone lessons back when I was in junior high and high school. And anyway, I was... kind of forgotten all that over the years, and anyway, I was hoping maybe I could kind of learn that in, and Bill said, you know, he'd be able to teach us that and a lot more, and he has, and I mean, in a real short, you know, short period of time, learned quite a bit,
yeah. And
quite a bit still to learn, so anyway, I'm a homeless guy, stay at the Salvation Army, have been there for about a year and a half now, and...
Salvation Army?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, anyway, it's all right. I like it there. They're really good. They've done real well. Anyway, kind of turned my life around. I was drinking quite a bit. Used to drink, mm-hmm. used to drug. I don't know.
Bit of substance abuse.
Yeah.
I know what that's like. I do.
Yeah, anyway, but you'll never see me. I don't know any of y'all can verify that I just, you know, I don't drink or drug anymore. I just... hadn't, and I owe the Salvation Army, I guess I owe the man upstairs more than the Salvation Army. He grabbed me one day and said, hey, it's time, you know.
I know what that's like.
I got something for you here, and so anyway, and then, man, you probably never, ever, ever will see me drinking or drugging again.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Man, I'm glad to be here. Thank you, Rashad.
Good to find a creative outlet to utilize in your time. I feel that. Been there. Today's show is folksy, in a word, in a way. Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about the music program we have going on here at the library. We're also going to talk to Wayne, get him to play us a piece. I'm real excited about that. Jasmine and I have been having a conversation back and forth. She's so busy, y'all, mm-hmm. that she's talked to Wayne a little bit more than I have, so... we'll get her to start off with these questions, and I'm going to kind of sit back, play the backfield, and moderate. So, Jazz, you want to start?
Well, I just, you know, I know you said it's going to be a little folksy of an episode. But the beautiful thing about folk music is it's storytelling, and it's rooted in life, and real life, and the authenticity of what we go through any mm-hmm. given day that, you know, anyone can kind of relate to, and... So, you know, some of the music we hope to hear is going to really ring true of folk music. But You know, I think what we do in general on this podcast is that core is really there, is the same. We're just really glad to have Bill here at the library. It's kind of, this episode's a little bit of a family affair. Bill's Ryan's dad.
We actually had
baby Langston in the studio earlier today. We had all three Smith men in the studio. We should have got him on with the little squirmy noises they make when he's only 6 weeks old now. So,
yeah.
But I think it's a music lovers episode too. I think that's what we're going to find as a common thread here. Rashad, you're a big music lover, and I know in the first episode you talk about your roots here at the library and fine arts, and I'd love you to talk more about sort of how the music program started and what music means to you, and we can kind of start there and see, you know, how that passion has really built where we are today.
Wow, it's interesting. You know, I talk to a lot of people about making a dream a reality, you know, and after all my talking, Denzel Washington said it best on one of his motivational speeches. He said, the way you make a dream a reality is through consistency and discipline. Man, I was at the homeless shelter and I was sweeping up cigarette butts. And I had already wanted to play music. I had already wanted to do something positive. And I didn't want to just kind of get entrapped by my surroundings. So I said, well, you know, that's cool, you know. I noticed that the elders and the youngsters wasn't speaking much. So when I was sweeping these cigarette butts, I heard a voice, very, very still voice, that said to me, you know, you wouldn't have to sweep up all these cigarette butts if you stuck a horn in their mouth.
All right.
And I'm sitting there and I'm going, huh? Well, prior to this, I had went to the First Presbyterian Church one day. I didn't intend on going. I went to the 7-Eleven nearby, the homeless shelter. And I shout out to give the gifts that I had gotten from the store to the people at the homeless shelter. And heard another still voice that says, they're not going to appreciate it. Go in here. So I go in, I look up, I see Presbyterian Church. I say, that's either got to do with a hospital or a church. Presbyterian, the name just shot out to me. So I went in, met the lady who was serving at the bridge at the time. And she and I had conversation for a small amount of time. She offered me to go to church. I went to church. After church, I met a guy, and the guy was willing to help me produce my album. He was willing to do the beats. He brought me to his house. This guy didn't know me from A to Z. And we're in the house, and he's making the beats. And he presses a button, and I'm like, yo, where the horns at? And he's like, I was like, man, that's not a horn, bro. That's not a horn. You feel horns. I'm from New Orleans. We feel horns. So it was a synthesized horn, which is no problem, but I just kind of was like took back by it because it was like, this is my music. I'm passionate about it. This is what I want to happen. And so the dude was like, well, you know, horns cost money, bro. And where you staying at, I'm pretty sure you don't have the money to afford horns. So long story short, we got together. He started talking to some cats at a fraternity. I started asking people around the homeless shelter, listen, how do you think a music class would fare here? And I mean, a lot of people was with it. They was like, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, man, I like the idea. But they wasn't willing to like put the work in. Kind of like what's the hen? Y'all remember the story of the hen?
The one that would like did all the work and then everybody else wanted to eat the work.
Ryan.
One of my favorites.
Ryan remembered that of everybody else. Whoa. Ryan's awesome.
Well, I didn't know what you were saying, for the record. I didn't know what you were saying.
I was just thinking bread.
It's almost lunchtime.
I was trying to make these pancakes too. So I got maybe about four cats. Well, actually about three other cats. And we started talking about the effects of music. And how music is probably one of the only things that can activate both parts of the mind. Left and right brain. Mm-hmm. And so that person was supposed to pitch that. I was supposed to pitch the effect of mathematics have on musicians and how they're better at mathematics or something like that. I was coming with something too. And so everybody had their own individual portion was supposed to pitch this idea. So long story short, one day I'm at the homeless shelter. I see there's a board meeting going on with all of the big wigs at the whole homeless shelter. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to pitch my pitch. You know, I'm feeling it. But then me being a somebody who's receiving their services, I thought I was intimidated. So I said, okay, I amped myself up, took my jacket off, took my backpack off. All right, I'm getting ready to do it. I aimed toward the door. Nah, I ain't ready. I got to do this again. Hold on. So I pray like I always do before the start of every show. I pray. I say, you know, Pop, if this is going to work, I'm going to need you to do something. I'm going to need you to give me some type of measure of seeing, faith, if you will. So as I lift my head, I look over, there's a sheet of paper on a desk. As I walk to the desk, there's a pen inside of the seat. So I sit down, and before I could write the first line, this guy starts walking up. So I go, it's better to catch one of them than trying to go into a whole board meeting and pitch an idea. That's kind of smart, Rashad. So I jump up. And I go and I walk and introduce myself to the guy. How you doing? My name is Rashad Dickerson. I'm a recipient of the Bridges Services here. I was wondering if I could talk to you about an idea. He was like, hey, yo, my name's Jay Dunn. I run the bridge. Now, I had never met this guy before. So I talked to the guy. He was with it. He was like, yo, man, just keep in contact through your case manager. Went to the case manager. And the case manager says, no, we cannot teach music because we are trying to, this is a temporary shelter. We are trying to get people to leave. You are talking about something that's going to get people to stay. And it flabbergasted me for a while because I had all of these plans. I had scoped out the bridge for extra space where I could store instruments. I was trying to figure and formulate because one of the things about being homeless is they're really, 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 really in cahoots with Health and Human Services. So I was thinking of ways for a cat that's got tuberculosis not to spit down my instrument. You know, I was trying to figure out how to come up with ways that would make it less problematic for the homeless shelter and still be beneficial. So long story short, that didn't happen. Not at the homeless shelter. They wasn't with it. And eventually I left. But I kept pitching the idea. I kept pitching it. And Jasmine, she shrugged me a few times. She was, whatever, man. You know, music's music.
Well, okay, in my defense, I will say that when we first had our sit-down meeting, the first time I ever met you, you talked about the music program and your dream of the music program. I think what I was like, meh, about was using, you know, brass instruments and horns because there are so many issues with cleaning them and that kind of thing, not to mention the price of it. But I thought, yeah, music classes, that makes sense. We were starting to establish some engagement programs at the time, started with Coffee and Conversation. And I thought, well, let's see if this is an interest of the community first, but then also, like, what do they want to play? And then you asked people. You did it the right way where you asked people, what instrument do you want to learn to play? And I think the ranking was keyboard, then guitar, or piano, then guitar. And of course, we can't buy a whole bunch of pianos, so we started with a set of keyboards with some extra, you know, discretionary money that we had. And we were able to make a version of your dream come true.
Now, here's my question. We did this after the survey, right?
You did, yes. We started the classes after you surveyed. Remember you started like a group of people, had them all come in and did this whole brainstorming, change the world through music thing. And then, yeah, you actually surveyed people and kept like a tally or something on notebook paper.
Right.
You went around and talking to people, asking them what instrument they'd want to learn to play.
I missed that journal. That was a good journal.
But we were lucky enough to, you know, we have Ryan here who's a music lover. I think we're all music lovers. I unfortunately am not skilled in the art of creating music, but I have a strong appreciation for music and all kinds of music, especially folk music. But, you know, Ryan comes from a family of musicians and music lovers. And he mentioned his dad at the time who was wanting to get engaged in volunteerism in some way, give back to the community. And so we met with Bill.
And here's the question, though. From my understanding, you guys, y'all's family are all about folk music, right?
More of my wife's family is was more engaged in the folk music up in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I married into the family pretty early. My wife is a children's librarian out at Pleasant Grove right now. And yeah, her mom and dad were involved in folk music for a long time, probably close to, 60 years?
Yeah.
Okay. So a long time.
Wow.
My family was also from the Midwest, and I kind of, my roommate in college at the time said, my father-in-law's name was Lyle, and I knew him before I even met my wife. So anyway, what happened was my roommate says, you know, Linda likes you, but Lyle, that was her dad, loves you. In other words, wanted to make me part of the family, and I got invited out to dinners on a regular basis. I kind of put two and two together, and anyway, that all worked out. So, you know, we've been married 38 years. We're going to give it one more year. Give it another shot.
That's great. Yeah.
Congratulations.
1 year at a time. One year at a time.
Yeah. They tell me that.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, most of the good things in my life have come about through music. You know, a lot of the lifetime friendships I've made, a lot of the relationships I've made here, and it's just an ongoing thing. And I'd spent over 20 years in the corporate world, and I was just ready to, you know, sometimes you have to pay the bills and raise the kids, but you know, once you get past that, you know, then you want to give back and not just have, you know, be looking for the next paycheck, be looking for the next dollar bill.
Yeah.
And so this was a wonderful transition. I took 6 months off and kind of wound things down there, and then Ryan mentioned that there's a interesting thing might be coming up, so met with Jasmine, met with Rashad, and it just kind of all snowballed, and it's just been a wonderful journey so far.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, Mr. Bill. I mean, like, if you take me back 38 years, what was Bill doing?
38 years ago, I was in college. My background is music education. Mm-hmm. Wasn't sure I wanted to be a teacher stuck behind a desk. Yeah. I've never been one to be able to sit still very long. They'll tell you up on the fourth, I'm never sitting long. I'm up moving around. I love to engage people. But, I found that teaching is anything but being behind a desk. It's interacting with individuals and getting to know people. And that's what I enjoy. I like coming alongside somebody and helping them be the best that they can. I feel like I'm a gifted teacher. That's what I like to give. That's what I like to do. Mm-hmm. And I've taught on and off.
What's some gigs you played?
Gigs, you mean like performances?
Yeah.
We opened for somebody, and we only played one major gig. I'm not one to get out front. I like to play in the back. I'll step up and do something. My main instrument is violin, fiddle, that kind of thing. But I'd rather stand behind somebody and fill in the cracks, make everything sound really smooth. Yeah. That's what I like to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not afraid to be out front. I'm not a shy person. But I do like to just like help them sound better, make them be the best they can be.
When are your classes, and what classes are you offering here?
We offer keyboard Tuesday and Wednesday from 2 to 3. It's open to anyone. And then Thursdays at 2 o'clock, we offer the guitar lessons. Mm-hmm. And some students come to both, some come to one or the other. But in any case, we teach the basics of music. If you stick around, you'll learn music theory. You'll learn the mm-hmm. chords and yeah, the melody, yeah. How to write it. But I try to find out what it is that that a person wants to accomplish with their music. Do they want to write it? They want to learn how to play it? They want to have a better understanding of it? Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to find out, you know, that amongst finding out where they are musically, if they have any kind of a music background.
It must be fairly difficult to teach a class to the public, and then you got some individuals who coming in and they already have knowledge of music or music theory, and some individuals who are just novices just want to learn the craft. How do you deal with that?
I think that's where my ADD comes in. That's a positive.
You can act? No.
It allows me to, seriously, yeah. I get everybody started, and then I just come alongside, and I just move from person to person to person. Yeah. My youngest student is a 5-year-old homeschool student. Mm-hmm. My oldest is a 91-year-old young lady that comes in and she plays every, she'll always call in or stop by. Bill, I can't stay this week, but I just want to let you know I'll be back next week, you know. Right. And it's just an amazing time. And so as far as where they are, I find out where they are, and then I just move from one to the other in rapid succession.
Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Street View Podcast. We're talking about music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you name a folk artist?
The closest thing I know to folk music is Bender on Futurama. I know that's probably, Bender on Futurama. That's about as close as I've ever gotten to real folk music.
How do you associate that with folk music?
Well, do you really want the history of Bender from Futurama?
No, not really.
No, that's just one of the things that he does. That was one of the way that I was first introduced to folk music as a whole, you know, just watching cartoons one day. And then it was discovered that he has a deformity where if you put a magnet near him, he sings folk songs. And, you know, it just kind of got me, it got me interested into that whole genre of music. I started listening to it, looking at different artists. No specific artists, just, you know, the typical Google, YouTube first person to come up, click on them, and listen to it.
Okay. What does music do to you?
I mean, I use music every day. My family comes from a very musically inclined background. We sing every time we get together. It's almost embarrassing. But we sing, we get together. I use music to express myself. So you can usually tell what mood I'm in by the music that I'm listening to.
Okay. Favorite folk artist, Jasmine?
Well, I can't say I have a favorite folk artist. I know that, more modern times, there's indie folk, which is, you know, a lot of musicians now are in sort of the indie genre, borrowing from folk music. But a lot of music is rooted in folk music, mm-hmm. like country music and that kind of thing. But I know my first exposure to, you know, traditional folk music was through Woody Guthrie.
Okay.
But other than that, you know, it's mostly that style of music that just... You know, some people would argue it's background music to a certain extent, right? It's like in a movie when they're traveling down the road or you're transitioning from some journey in life, they're going to play, like, the soundtrack's going to have some kind of folk music. But I know for me, my drive in the morning and my drive home, I listen to music. I've tried to do the audiobook thing, but I don't want to have those thoughts. I want to use music to help me decompress.
Yeah.
To just let my brain scatter and just feel the feelings. So I think music has a healing power. I think it has a soothing power. I think it really does help. You know, you mentioned trying to make the link to math and those kinds of things. And
Right. We've
had sessions on music and literacy and early literacy connections and even as babies and young children being exposed to music. I'm a firm believer, you know, I played violin growing up. But even sight reading and reading the music, I think has really helped, with my ability to sort of plan and think abstractly. Because, you know, when you look at music for the first time and you have to, you know, with UIL, you got to play it, you know, in competition just a little bit after that. You learn to imagine the music in your head.
It's like learning another language when you learn music. Really, it's almost like speaking German, dude. Like, I remember, maybe two semesters ago, I'd run over here and see Ryan, and I'd be telling Ryan, like, look, man, I'm not making it with music theory, bro. And he's, like, telling me, showing me the circle of fifths, and it's a different language, yo. It's really, really productive, though, because what happens is it allows you to, your mind to go in a different place than just regular, because it's actually like not only are you on the lines, but you're in between the lines too. Favorite folk artist, and what does music mean to you?
Well, One that's been a great influence, I guess there would be two. One would be Doc Watson. I love a lot of his music. Mm-hmm. And another one would be Bill Monroe, more of the bluegrass sense of things. And I think that when we say folk music, I think a lot of times we narrow it down to country folk when actually there's folk music from around the world. And it seems like it all comes together here in the United States because we're a melting pot, no doubt about it. And I would invite anybody to come up to the fourth floor and we'll show you the broad expanse of the different, different genres of folk music. Folk music is basically just that which is passed down from one generation to another.
Sure, indeed.
What music means to me is it's a way to bond with other people. It transcends all language barriers, any nationality. It reaches down into your soul, and it'll make you feel. It can make you feel better, or if you want to play music that makes you feel the way that you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's a gift. It's something that's not for ourselves. It's something to be shared.
True. Absolutely. Same question, Mr. Wayne.
I don't know. I think of folk music. I'm like Bill here. He kind of turned me on to Doc Watson CD here the other day. Really enjoyed it. And I've listened to Bill Monroe or whatever, Ricky Skaggs type bluegrass things. But when I think of folk people, I think of people like Bob Dylan, Joan Baez. I don't know. That really there aren't too many modern day. Most of them nowadays are hip hop, rap, or rock and roll, you know.
Yeah, that's the stuff that's being published.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not the folk music back in the 60s or 70s or whatever that I kind of grew up with.
Yeah.
But
what's music mean to you?
Oh, freedom of expression for one thing. And like Bill was saying, you can play your mood. You can play, if you're happy, you can play a happy little tune.
Yeah.
Or if you're sad, you know, you can kind of play some blues or just, I don't know. It's really educational. I don't know if I could define what it exactly means to me. It means a whole bunch. That's about the best way I can put it.
Okay.
And one thing I can add, the more you know about music, the more, or the deeper the feelings go and the more expressions you have and avenues to express yourself or whatever. And that's one thing I like about Bill here. He's real good at getting you opened up and getting you moved and motivated or whatever and learning new things and stuff to do. He really, really does a real good job. It's amazing. Yeah.
We are so blessed to have you here at the library, man.
Definitely.
I was just going to say thank you. And by the way, I still have your bass. I'm going to finish that up and get it back to you.
So one day while working at Vagabond, a friend of mine, we were riding. He says, look. And we look, we stop, and we pick up a bass guitar. And the neck's cracked on it. I mean, bad out of shape. Badly taken care of. And this person was just, it's on top of a trash heap. So I'm like, well, give me this thing. Shove it in my back in the trunk. And I run and I'm trying to figure out who do I know can help me with this. And this is the beautiful part about the library and having resources. And I'm thinking. And I'm walking on the fourth floor and I see Bill. And I'm like, hey, Bill, what's happening, man? Hey, man, I'm going to come see you in a couple of days. I want to show you something. I found the bass. So I show him the bass. I give him the bass. He's like, okay, my son reconstructs guitars. He deals with parts.
Not me, the other son.
The other son, not yeah. Ryan. Ryan's just doing the music, like just doing the engineering of the music. And so that's, man, you've been in music forever. I mean, you got a son who's doing the mic. And then you got another son who's building the instruments. Huh. Kudos to you, sir. Yeah. Kudos to you. So, while I get ready to tell you guys about my favorite folk artist and what music means to me, Wayne's going to set up here and he's going to play you guys a little something. Cool?
Yeah, I guess so. I can play a tune here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me explain who my favorite folk artist is. You can adjust it if you need to.
Yeah.
Okay. My favorite folk artist is Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger. I never really listened to too much of his stuff. I've listened to some of it. I read about him. Pete Seeger, basically, he says the things people don't want to hear.
That's right.
Blacklisted off television. Yeah, he basically gets into some things or some cultural issues that a lot of folk don't want to talk about. And I think in hip hop, as well as in all genres of music, as well as in any art, art basically is the thermometer of the people, of the culture at that time. And so Pete Seeger basically was just given what he saw. And in a lot of instances today, people give what they see, but they're not blacklisted off TV. So that's my favorite artist. And as far as music, what it means to me, man, you know, for me, deep connection with people, with things, how I associate events, everything has some type of tune. Just the other day, me and Antoinette was sitting down and she was like, yo, I wish I had my own theme music. And I'm sitting there and I'm going and I'm thinking about it now, and I've been listening to different people. I've been stuck in the 60s and 70s age. Mm. So music to me basically is a connection. It's a connection and a communication, not only with God, but also with man. And so I enjoy that. And I find great pride and comfort in introducing Mr. Wayne. Mm.
Yeah, I want to hear a little bit of tune. I wrote this in here the other day. I hadn't played it, but maybe four or five times. But anyway, I'll give you a little bit of it. It's called Nickels and Dimes. It's kind of about being homeless and broke and all that on the streets. Let me think of how good.
Take your time. I know what it's like.
Let's see. Here we go. Well, I wished I had a nickel for every dollar that I spent. I wouldn't be broke. I'd have money for the rent. Change in my pocket to buy a few things, like gas for my car and guitar strings. Well, I wouldn't be hungry and I wouldn't be cold. I could still have my pickup that I just sold. I could buy some new clothes, I'd be a styling gent, if I only had a nickel for every dollar to spend.
Thank you, thank you. Thanks, Mr. Wayne. Let's talk a little bit about that. Some of the subjects that's in there, man. How long you been homeless?
Almost 2 years now. Yeah, going on 2 years.
Going on two?
Yeah, I stay at the shelter at the Salvation Army. I've been there for a little over a year and a half, though. I've been really fortunate that I got in. They did remodeling, yeah, and they closed it down. And I was happened to be in the Salvation Army. They called it General Pop at the time.
Yeah.
And you can stay there about 30 days or so, you know, and don't cost anything. Let you get a chance to get on your feet and kind of, you know, take care of your business, get your life kind of straightened out, going right. Mm-hmm. And then they sent me over to another shelter, is Union Gospel, and I'd go from Union Gospel to the bridge.
During remodeling, wasn't they moving everybody from Salvation Army?
Yeah, right. Yeah, they moved everybody out. Well, on the men's side, the women's side was still operating. But they moved everybody out, and we was getting up like 4 in the morning, going over to the bridge and eating breakfast and stay at the bridge all day, and then of evening go back to Union Gospel to go to church and sleep that night. Anyway, that went on quite a while, and I know it was during the summer, and I was dragging them. And I was sick. Like I said, you know, that's one reason why I was homeless. I got a bad liver and I had diabetes and just several different things wasn't quite right. And so anyway, I remember you see a lot of homeless people pulling bags around and all their possessions and clothes and trash bags and pullers and backpacks and what all. And man, that's a for real deal. That's everything you can carry is all you have, and that's it. And a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of things that you need that you just don't have.
Right.
You can't carry it all in one backpack.
No, you can't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, and then you think about, like, during the summertime here in Texas, it gets pretty hot. Yeah. It does. It'll be up 100, 102, 105. True. And you're out toting all these bags around trying to do. You're trying drink to go and water. Do. Yeah. All kinds oh, of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And nobody wants you there. They don't want you to, you can't sit here. You know, you look bad, it gives a bad image in front of the store here.
Right.
And you're just normal people. You just had a bit of bad luck.
Yeah.
Like they say, you know, you're one paycheck away from being homeless, and you are, man, anyway, I was, and it right. didn't take long. And I was home. I had a home before that. I had a place of my own like 12 years. I was at the same place. And I never laid. Well, I got sick. And so, anyway, I couldn't work no more. Couldn't pay the bills. Can't pay the bills. You can't stay, you know.
You know how that is.
And so.
So my question.
So you basically had a spot, got sick, and then wound up on the streets. Would you observe, and then you observed a lot of different things happening when you hit the streets? Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's another world. Yeah.
It's another world. Talk about that world just a little bit.
Well, first thing you try to do is you're going to make sure you got enough food to eat. Mm-hmm. And that's not always easy, but you kind of learn different places you can go that'll give you food or help or whatever, like the bridge and the Salvation Army and things like that. Yeah, I know at Salvation Army they pass out sack lunches, and you're really, you know, kind of fortunate at that. And then you kind of learn. It's a learning experience. For somebody that's never had to live out on the roads a whole lot, I did when I was young, but it was by choice. I could always go home.
Right.
And then whenever you get older, then you're just stuck. I mean, there's you got nowhere else to go.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. And when you used up all your assets, you're trying to pay bills and rent and doing what you can do, and you slowly go downhill, and pretty soon one day you ain't got no money left.
Let me ask you something, personally.
Sure.
When does substance abuse happen in that cycle?
My substance abuse started whenever I was doing the best. I had a lot of money, a lot of time on my hands, and when you got time and money, or it is for me, I'll go get loaded.
Yeah.
You know, that's right. Just, you know, kind of the thing to do. There for a while, I was making real good money. I had my own fence company. I was building a fence, and my sister, she owned some rent houses, properties, and whatever, and she was hiring me to work to, you know, to fix them up and do and all, and like roofing and plumbing and electrical work.
So painting. You got a background in construction.
Yeah, right. I'd been to school to fix radios and televisions, an electronics technician, and it wasn't that I didn't have an education. I went to school to fix computers, do networking on computers and repair computers, since I had a TV and radio kind of background and all. And anyway, it wasn't from not having knowledge of things. It's just your ability not to be able to do them things. The more you drink, the more you drug, the more you drink and drug, the worse your body gets. The worse your body gets, the less you can do. And pretty soon you tend to fall behind. Mm-hmm. And the more you fall behind, the further you fall behind, the harder it is. You've got to work that much harder, and you're already sick and tired and give out and broke and got nowhere to go or nothing to do. You're living out in the elements, just rain, cold, heat, whatever. And anyway, it starts beating you down, and you just get kind of beat down, and it keeps piling in on you. Nothing stops. The world keeps turning, and it keeps piling. Pretty soon, you just, man, forget it. I'll never get back up there.
Right.
And so you just give up. You start giving up on yourself. You give up on your life is what you've done. You said, man, I just, you know, I didn't do this right. But, you know, oh, well, paying for the days of wine and roses is the way I like to think of it.
You know what?
I've got that song, by the way, in my Merle Haggard, Wine and Roses. I look at it quite a bit, and I think about that. And anyway, if it wasn't for just a lot of fortunate people, or people that me being fortunate and meeting the right people at the right time, man, I don't know. I know several people, several of my friends that's you know, out on the streets, and they live there. I've got a friend of mine. I won't say anything about it. I could call him David. anyway, he's got like real bad heart problems. He's, I think he's 65 or so years old, and he's in the same boat I was. He don't have any resources. He don't have any things, and his time's up. He spent his 30 days in the shelter, and he didn't get in a program or anything, so they put him back out on the roads, and you're stuck, and now it's wintertime, and now he's stuck out there, and he's got, you know.
That's when you got to exercise that hustle muscle.
Oh, yeah, but he's so bad off that he can't hardly do that, you know. He'll hustle the people coming out of, you know, where we're staying and stuff, and you know, a lot of people, it ain't that they feel sorry for him because he's, you know, he's just in a position right now. And so they try to give him a hand up, you know, they'll buy him something to eat or give him cigarettes and stuff like that.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What's music doing for you in your situation?
One thing, it eliminates me having to, I'm not saying I can get rid of my problems, but I can, start something new every time. I believe, I'm a firm believer, if your life ain't going the way you want it to go, you need to change it. And yeah, because there's something ain't right, and you just, it ain't working, and you know, give it a go, and if it don't work, then try something else. Yeah. And I'm a firm believer in that. And my life was going wrong all which ways, and anyway, I found religion at Salvation Army. I started going to church and all that there. Mm-hmm. And then, I got myself straight, quit drinking, quit drugging. And, then I started having interest. You get bored after a while just sitting at the Salvation Army. Yeah. And so wanted to take up something, and I played the guitar, like I said, about 20 years ago. And I didn't know if I could still play or do. Didn't have any calluses on my fingers. Didn't have nothing. And so, you know, here a few months ago, I picked it back up and started playing. And then I met Bill down here at the library. They said they're going to start a guitar class. And, oh, it's on then. You know, it's one step lead to another to another. And then Bill introduced me to this place we could go play. And, you know, had the musicians around. And oh man, it was just like my eyes was opening. I'm popping, riding, you know, I don't know. I'm just riding a good deal.
Yeah.
And, anyway, man, the more I learning and doing, and I'm not going to say the straighter I am, because I'm as straight as I could be, but the more I get back in my life, or the further I follow the dream of the music, then, you know, I think the way it's going now, the better I'll be. And Bill is, man, I tell you what, you backed yourself on the back a bunch of times. You have definitely, man, motivated me and helped me and got me going in gear and showed me things that I learned and I can use from now.
Wayne, you know what? You and the other folks I have the opportunity to mentor and work with, you know, I just feel like I'm just totally blessed to have the opportunity. This is it's really exciting. I said this before we went on the air, but it's exciting just to come in here every day and get a chance to work with people. I mean, there's parts to every job that we don't necessarily like to do. I'm not a real big paperwork person, but still, you know, it's the opportunity to work with people and help them to open their eyes to new things. And I'm just real thankful to be able to come in here and work.
Thanks again for coming out.
I'd like to say one other thing too. This is kind of for the library. This is about the only place in downtown that they haven't tried to get you to move along. Don't stop here. You can't go in there. You can't use the restroom in there. You can't get no water here. You got to buy something to do this and that. And it was about the only place that I've been in. When I walked in, everybody just made me feel comfortable. You know, they didn't look at me so much as a homeless. I'm sure I looked homeless. Everybody does. But they didn't, you know, that wasn't what they was doing. They was trying to help me find my interest and what I was interested in and whatever, and then just showed me different things and learned different things and just kind of build on it and do or whatever. And if it wasn't for the library here, I don't know, man, I would never have got back into music. I just, you know, wouldn't have done it. Or if I would have, I'd been stuck in the 60s psychedelic rock or something. And, you know, that I just, I don't know, that was fun when it was there, but I'm glad it's over. Put it that way. And I'm afraid to say that it would have probably led me back to drinking and drugs, because most of that era, that's what I grew up in, that's what people did, was drink and drug. And if you're stuck in that era, then that's what you're probably going to do.
Shout out to the library. You guys, we'll be right back. Before we dip up out of here, I just kind of want to ask, what do you want the people to know? Any of the topics, from music to homelessness?
I'm going to say something for people out there, homelessness, and I'll just never give up, man. It's not, you know, things don't stay the same forever. They change. Things constantly change. And try to talk and be honest with the people that you're, like case managers and the people you're working and doing with. And, They can definitely help you. And if not, you can see your way probably ain't working, or you wouldn't be homeless. And kind of work with them, because they know, they've been there and they've heard 1,000 stories from 1,000 different people.
Tell them to come to the library.
Yeah. And the library is just, man, I tell you what, it's a great place to get started, to do anything you want to do, or just relax and read a book. It really is.
What about you, Mr. Taylor?
Well, I thought of something, and that is that we that work at the library, you know, in fact, we're talking about it on our floor. It's not just a collection of books. It's not a collection of music or CDs. I know we have a lot of people checking out all that information, but it's not that. We actually impart knowledge, and we impart wisdom, which is the correct application of knowledge. You know, it's more than, you know, we don't make decisions for people, but, you know, we help them find the information they're looking for and say, you know, you might want to try it this way, or you might want to try it this way, and let them see what their options are, you know, and that is wisdom.
Back to you, Antoinette.
I think one of the biggest things that, just with the topic of today's podcast, is music boils down to another form of human connection, us being able to connect to each other on another level. And I just want everybody to really think about how they connect, where they fit in, and to remember to stay engaged. Don't become disengaged and caught up in what issues you're dealing with, because you're not the only one who's experiencing that. Mm-hmm. Make sure that, you know, you're connecting with everyone in some way.
You know, when I was in school, I would see the teacher teaching, and I would realize that if I'm having this issue, somebody else amongst my peers is having this issue. And so I would always ask questions. I was the guy who was asking the questions, and I got used to that role, because it's almost like you're being made a fool of, in a sense, but you're doing it for the benefit of other people, sacrificial in a sense. So that's been my role. That's been my plight. That's been what I've been going through. And, you know, I'm starting to feel like I can't connect with everybody. I want to. I always did want to, but I can't. And I wish I could help more people, but I can't stress myself that thin, you know. So I want to leave for the listeners this. Bill said wisdom is knowledge of how to apply knowledge in the proper context. How'd you say it, Mr. Bill?
Well, wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. Knowledge by itself is dangerous.
Yeah. What about you, Jazz? What do you want to leave the listeners with?
Well, I wanted to piggyback off of what Antoinette said. I call it the cellular level. Music helps people connect at the cellular level.
Okay.
It's the spirit. It's that intangible. Music is intangible to a certain extent, and it just sort of connects our spirits through music. And and I know that when we started the Homeless Engagement Initiative, you know, we planned on it being this one thing, where it's about, you know, connecting with people at the human level, and And it really has become so much more, and it really is a celebration. I mentioned that on the last episode. It's a celebration of life. Mm-hmm. And it's not just our customers who've benefited. It's, you know, Ryan, who's been able to apply his skills to to crafting this podcast and feeling better probably and excited about work because of that. It's Bill coming along as a volunteer and now as a staff person to enjoy coming to work every day and to find a different level of joy in his life. It's Wayne, you know, resurrecting this passion of his to be able to come at the come to the library and connect again and connect with everyday people and maybe forget his plight for the moment and find his way and find it and be ready to get out of homelessness and be ready to take that next step. We were talking before and he's getting close to having an apartment and he's more ready for that now. And it's just, it's been one surprise after another. I will say it's just, it's that connection at that cellular level.
I know it's eating him up, y'all. I know it's eating him up because he is like the full on music philanthropist. This is the dude. Captain.
Yeah, what's up?
What's music mean to you?
Music to me. Well, I guess a lot of things have been said today, but and I guess, I mean, I'd have to say that I'm pretty much in agreement with everything, but trying to think if there's anything beyond that. I mean, to me, it kind of, one of the things it means to me among many things, I think it kind of takes the edges off of life. I mean, it kind of, I mean, for lack of a better word, it's almost a soundtrack to life, but it's sort of like, you know, if you just have reality, your day in, day out, it's kind of just dry and bare bones and, you know, but it sort of softens the edges of life a little bit and kind of takes you, I mean, I wouldn't say it takes you to an, like a non-reality, but, you know, it's like sometimes if you go somewhere and you put a pair of headphones on it for 45 minutes or an hour, you listen to an album, in a way, you sort of leave your present reality. And so in a way, it kind of sort of allows you to step outside of your current existence, so it softens life for me. It's kind of, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. Note, Ryan just said that we're superhuman. We can go from one reality to the next reality. Hey, man, we're going to leave y'all with Wayne playing a little bit. And as soon as he finishes playing, we'll do a quick prayer. As a matter of fact, let's pray now. And we'll have him play us out. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those whom trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all sin and evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen.